This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's the beginning of a new month, which for our food-motivated listeners means it's time to talk about the latest in new restaurant openings and closings in the St. Louis region. As usual, my dishing companions are Abby Lurico, STLPR's morning news anchor and host of the Gateway podcast. Good afternoon.
Happy to be here.
And Jessica Rogan, St. Louis Public Radio's digital editor and author of STLPR's monthly food scene rundown. Hello.
Hey, Elaine.
So we have a lot to cover today. So without further ado, let's talk about an opening. Jessica, kick us off with Baia in the Grove.
Yeah, so this is a new Italian spot from Good Hospitality. And if you don't know Good Hospitality, you probably know their other restaurants. So they've got Good Company, also in the Grove, a Perry, and the new upscale Mexican spot Malo, and the casual taqueria Chico Bueno, as well as Trust Downtown. And there's probably one I'm forgetting, but that's a lot of restaurants and bars.
Does that qualify as a restaurant empire already formed, or is it in the middle of forming?
I think it's in the middle of forming, but could get bigger. I just recently talked to Jordan Goodman, who is the man behind it all, and he definitely has more plans for the future. So it's definitely getting bigger. Mm-hmm. And Baia is really beautiful. It is in the former Tiki bar space that was in the Grove, and they actually own that building. And it's got executive chef John Priestley, who's also over Good Company and a Perry, and he and Goodman worked together at Olive and Oak back in the day, so it was like this natural thing to open an Italian restaurant. They're saying the menu is lots of like house-made pastas, a few small plates, and a few main plates. So very simple Italian Riviera style food, and Instagram is to die for.
Okay. What a transformation to go from a tiki bar to elevated Italian space.
You know, both destination spots, I
absolutely
will say.
I would true. Vacation at either, for sure.
Italian Riviera, certainly, it sounds very inviting. Mm-hmm. There's also been an announcement of a closing in the Grove. Tell us about this one, Abby.
Grace Meat and Three. This one, though, they are still open right now. So normally we might put a pin in this one to talk about it for our September roundup. But we're talking about it now because we have been covering it. They announced that their final day of service at that Grove location is Sunday, September 13th. That's exactly 9 years after they had their first service there. So in restaurant years these days, that's a pretty good run. It's a concept that will continue in other ways, though, with the Grace Fish and Chicken concepts, their food truck, the Crestwood location. But the Meat and Three was based on this kind of southern, not quite cafeteria style there, but you pick your protein, whether it's fried chicken or meatloaf, both were delicious, and your three sides. And it's always kind of stuck to those roots of being a place to feed people. So they focused a lot on working people, you know, like on your lunch break, families. It was definitely a place that owner and chef Rick Lewis said that he wanted to be for people in the city. I talked to him before about that, you know, it was really important for them to kind of have community and fellowship with the people that are there. And I'd been there one time, I've told the story before, but I was there with the guy behind Soul Taco and the guy behind Pappy's Barbecue were sitting at the counter when I walked in for lunch. I'm like, this is a restaurant's restaurant, you know? And so all that's to say, to be that and also still kind of really focusing on working folks, I think is cool. But Rick told our colleague Chad Davis that normally things have been doing pretty okay financially. They've been able to make it turn around, but with the challenges in the Grove itself, the way that things are changing there, and also just the overall economy. They were not able to make it work. It's particularly tough because this spot on Manchester has been seen by many people as a heart of the Grove. Mm-hmm. I checked in with the developers there, and they said they are just beginning the search to find a new restaurant tenant, but they are hopeful. Mm-hmm. Big shoes to fill. Again, that was Sweetie Pies was there before Grace, so let's keep an eye on what's going to fill up that spot.
Yeah. Sweetie Pies was actually the first restaurant I went to when I visited St. Louis before moving here.
Wow.
And Grace Meat and Three is a place that I took folks when they came to visit from out of town. So, you know, even in the span that I've been here, there's some memories that are associated with that
Absolutely.
Space. Let's talk about some openings. And there's a lot of bread to talk about. Jessica, take us over to Overland.
Yeah, so new to Overland is Brodo STL from owner Patricia Afori. She is from Ghana, where her family had a home bakery. And she became very interested in it, you know, watching it as she was growing up. And then when she came to the U.S., she started cooking, you know, West African inflected dishes for her friends here. And they loved it. And so she started thinking about, like, hey, you know, I should really open a brick and mortar space. Started looking in 2024. And now we have it open as of last month. This is a full daytime menu of, like, pretty much everything you would want. Coffee, breakfast, sweets and breads, also lunch dishes. Some things that caught my eye were this traditional sugar bread or cinnamon bread, which you might have had, Elaine.
Oh, I've
I know you stopped
it.
By.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they have a beet and legume salad with akara, which is a bean fritter, and also a spiced rice porridge. Sounds so good.
So I did stop by there, and I picked up a loaf of sourdough and a meat pie. What was not ready was a sausage roll, and that is something that I grew up with in Canada. So I'll have to stop in again. It smelled really great in there. She actually mentioned something about the neighbor being a mentor, and that neighbor is the palm tree. So that is the relocation of the palm tree that was in Jeffrey Plaza before that that Costco development came in. Another place to talk about is a spot that's opened in Lafayette Square. Abby, tell us about Piggy Cafe.
So I thought this was going to be a place with chicken nuggets and orange slices for toddlers.
Spoken like a toddler.
Yeah, I was like, okay. So that left me disappointed in a good way. And by that I mean it is not that, but it is a place based on where or the types of foods that the owner, Erin, says she wants to eat. I stopped by there. They've only been open for a couple of days, actually. And it's the type of place where you kind of want to go home and, like, reinvent your entire lifestyle because the furniture is – it's lovely and it's a way it's appointed in there. She was telling me she thrifted everything. The garden in the back where they're growing the herbs, even during this extreme heat, she set up a plug-in fan for me so I could sit outside and enjoy that. And the bread, a nice thick slice of wheat bread that she makes herself. This is an operation. We hear about family businesses. I think this one is a particularly interesting thing because Erin created this in collaboration with her sister. So anyone who's considered going into business with their sister. But this sister, Bethany, has quite a bit of experience owning and operating Squires just across the street there in Lafayette Square for a quarter century now at this point. So it's a great place to stop in. And the way that they're doing the menu I thought was interesting. It's a daily rotating menu. They are printing it right now on a piece of printer paper, and you see it when you get up to the front. They have their regular coffee items, but I asked if this was a way around supply chain issues or to try to be more sustainable, and it comes back to picky. Aaron says, not really. I just wanted to make things that I want to eat that day.
Okay. There are two more cafes that open. Jessica, can you tell us about these to sort of wrap this cafe portion of our conversation?
Yeah, for sure. So in the Central West End, we have Dua Cafe, which is serving Mediterranean food. And the family is from Albania, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. The daughter is running the front of the house. Mother is cooking in the kitchen. I love that. And then we have the Uhuru Bakery and Cafe, which opened up in College Hill. This one was kind of a long time coming. Mm-hmm. It's from the African People's Education Defense Fund. And they had a hard time getting the permit to open because some of the leadership group, which we've reported here at St. Louis Public Radio, was involved in this battle over whether the leaders were, unregistered Russian agents.
Just look up the web story.
Yeah, just look up the web story. They were indicted. They were acquitted. And in St. Louis, people were like, hey, do we want this? But ultimately, people were like, hey, we need food in this neighborhood. And this group has also done a lot of nice things, like build basketball courts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So daytime food and especially pies.
Yes. Oh, pies. Well, speaking of pies, sweets from St. Louisans who have served in the U.S. military is a little bit of theme. And LB Donuts in De Pere is one of them. It's founded by former Navy CB and Afghanistan combat veteran Sunny Chang. And Sunny runs this with his wife. And something that I spotted is another LB sign in the storefront of the former Creve Coeur bagel factory space. So there could be carbs of another kind coming in there. And then the other business that has just started is SNU St. Louis, and that's downtown. And the owner's name is Derica Hatcher. And Derica worked three jobs after retiring from a two-decade Army career and did those jobs in order to save enough to open the shop. Some of the things that it serves there, hard shell tacos, a vegan burger, and desserts like Banana Me Baby, which is a banana split, and Kaylin's Scoop. It's a brownie with ice cream and a fudge drizzle. So Tastes of Home were also something that came up with openings in the last month. Lona's Little Eats opened its second location. I got to talk with Chef Lona Lowe on the show in Kirkwood. There's another place that has opened in Boulevard Heights. There's sort of a family thing going on and a home-based thing too. Sabor Cubano, which was a home-based business and now has a brick and mortar. And then Sylvie D's, apparently a third location and its largest yet, that offers a new pastry program and expanded candy selection. And Sylvie D's is opening in Clayton. I don't have a sweet tooth. Have either of you been to Sylvie D's?
Oh, so yeah. Sylvie D's is in the Foundry, and they're also in Webster.
Oh, okay.
And it's like one of those places where you walk in, and it's like everything you look at is covered in like candy. And then
boy.
They have an ice cream counter.
Like the air is sweet.
The air is sweet. The ice cream is serendipity ice cream there. So it's very delicious. I always bring my kiddo in, and they have a giant toy ice cream cone, and I ask him what he wants, and he always points at that. But he'll settle for an actual scoop.
Moving on to fine dining, Abby, tell us about what is happening in Maplewood.
Yeah, this is something that's been hotly anticipated, and after it was announced, and its very announcement was kind of a question for several years for watchers of the St. Louis Watchers and patrons of the St. Louis restaurant scene. So Gamlin's in Maplewood, open in the former Elmwood space. And if you recognize that name, it's from a bygone era in the Central West End, when you had the Gamlin Brothers Whiskey House, Sub-Zero Vodka Bar, they came to kind of define that intersection there on Euclid in Maryland for a while. But Derek Gamlin's been out of the game since about 2020. And at the time of the closures of his various restaurants, there was some conversation about what could come next. Some former employees were saying they were having some issues with getting back pay, working with the management and whatnot. And that all said, Derek has told St. Louis Magazine, I reached out but wasn't able to connect with him, but he told St. Louis Magazine that, you know, he's moving forward with lessons learned and a perspective on hospitality and taking it into this next concept, this next effort, which is an upscale Italian chop house is how they're describing it. Though calling it fine dining might be a bridge too far for them, because they also want it to feel like the type of place you can stop in on a Tuesday. And they're going to have things like, steaks, pasta, seafood in kind of a luxurious space. And this is not just Gamlin, though that is the name on the door outside. It is also a venture, a partnership with a former owner of West End Grill and Pub, which I used to frequent all the time, lived right across from that. And they had some really great underrated menu items there, but were also known for building a big, strong group of regulars. And so that could be useful in the whole come by on a Tuesday night effort of this new place.
I also see that it will be open until 1 a.m. I don't know for you. It really doesn't work, Abby, with your schedule.
I would have to wake up early, but right. That is definitely tapping into something. Because, again, Derek Gamlin is a veteran of this business in this area. And it doesn't take one to recognize there aren't a ton of late night options. Mm-hmm. And he has said that, especially after things like a kids event, you need somewhere to go. And so late night hours for that.
Sure. Well, there are many closings, unfortunately, to talk about this roundup. And features a lot of longtime restaurants. Jessica, tell us about some of the closures that we've seen of places that were open for a really long time.
Yeah. So unfortunately, there were a lot. But the ones that really come to mind for me are, so in Lafayette Square, 33 Wine Shop and Bar closed after 25 years. And then in The Grove, Everest Cafe and Bar closed after 22 years. And Miss Sherry's Cafeteria in South St. Louis closed after more than 50 years in business. And not only were these like long-held beloved places in the region, but they all told, you know, various outlets, including ours, that part of the reason why they didn't close is that their businesses never popped back from COVID. And we know that, like, dining has changed a lot, especially, you know, dine-in has never come back. Things have moved to more takeout. And, you know, it's sad. It makes me wonder if, like, the model of places that are opening now are more adapted to, you know, the realities of dining. Some of these places also said they just, like Everest, they were tired of doing it. They'd been doing it a long time and they didn't have a successor. So it's not only COVID, but it does seem like COVID and also some inflation right now in food costs.
Impacted the lifespan, at least.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of the things that people have posted about, you know, these closings, Eileen says, are these restaurant closings, the canary in the coal mine? You know, is a lot of St. Louis going to be a ghost town in the not too distant future? That's quite a dark prediction, as it were. Mm. Doug says, I think it has more to do with stagnant wages and rising food costs. Fewer people can afford to go out to eat now. This isn't just a St. Louis issue. It's nationwide. Mm-hmm. And on this show, we talked earlier this week about the affordability crisis and what people are cutting down on in order to keep up with rising costs of, you know, everything from housing to gas to childcare.
Yeah.
And Alex says, we can't afford to go out anymore and can't afford to work under a living wage. I worked in the industry for 20 years and became a stay-at-home mom because childcare would have eaten every check. We went from family night out once a week to once a month. So, you know, these kinds of feelings are not limited to those who are regular diners. But is there something that you see in the kinds of openings that have happened? You know, Jessica, you just mentioned this, that makes you feel like the St. Louis food scene is one that is just in the midst of some development and some on its way to, you know, to some positive things in the future?
I do. I think that one thing that we've seen is that, like, middle expensive restaurants, like just your like casual, like go out to eat place are kind of disappearing. Mm-hmm. So fine dining is still flourishing, and places that are inexpensive, even though what is inexpensive has gone more expensive lately, are working out. But like those things that are, you know, kind of between there are really struggling. And, you know, you can kind of understand why, because cheap food will always be in demand. People can't cook every single night for themselves. And, you know, expensive experiences that are special, you know, are still accessible to people who have the means to to get that. But for other people who are peeling the pinch, their sort of night out is going away, as one of those commenters mentioned.
And it, sometimes it feels like if you're going to spend X amount of dollars on a meal, you want it to be at the place where you have to score the reservation.
Yeah, it has to be, like, really great.
Right, right.
So more investment maybe in saving for the experience rather than frequency?
Perhaps. Among a certain group, you know, among some folks, like Jessica said, it's not something that, for a lot of people, going out to eat is an exciting event in and of itself, no matter what the economy is doing or whatnot. And so, but given the circumstances right now where people are having to make decisions, it's a really valid point that cheap food is in demand because we still do need to eat, and going to the grocery store is getting more expensive too. And so sometimes we weigh that and think, well, hold on, is it worth all the effort? And we have only so much time in the day, and you see those places. But even still, we're seeing, you know, at the very least, pleas from owners and managers and hospitality pros saying, don't forget, come out and support us.
Yeah.
And the dollar does not stretch as far as a lot of us wish it did, especially as we seek to support these businesses and the people they employ.
Yes, especially the local ones. Abby Lurico is STLPR's morning news anchor and host of the Gateway podcast, and Jessica Rogan is our digital editor. Thank you both for joining us today.
Cheers.
Thanks.
For a full list of last month's new restaurant openings and closings, go to stlpr.org/new restaurants.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.